Anybody have any questions?
Any questions?
I have a question.
I'd like to ask you some questions.
Oh, you can ask questions.
Yes, you can ask questions, and you do. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. And today we've got a question for our Raging Bull podcast. And it comes from Jay in Metuchen, New Jersey, who actually asked this question as a follow-up to his last question. So we've been explaining a lot of terms, and he was asking about the relative strength index and why you couldn't just use it as an indicator. And so I answered that question, and he followed up with a question, said, Chuck, I appreciate it, and I finally understand how it works and why you wouldn't just rely on RSI. Now I need you to explain on balance volume. Okay, so I can do that. On balance volume is something, it's OBV. We haven't talked a lot about OBV. It's actually one of the first technical terms I ever knew about because it was introduced by a guy named Joe Granville. And long before I really started doing anything with trading, Joe Granville was kind of a stock legend who then had a long period where he was wrong. He had been right like in the 60s and the 70s and was considered a great guru. And then he was wrong for ages. And you'd look at the Hulbert Financial Digest stuff on his services and go, oh my gosh, does anybody care anymore? But then he proved to be right again at one point and made himself relevant again. And for people who are technical analysts, he's been relevant for a long time because in 1963, he wrote a book called New Key to Stock Market Profits. It's the first book I ever saw on technical analysis that I went to the library for at some point when I was in college and learning about the markets and investing. So on balance volume is an oscillator, sort of like what we were talking about the other day with relative strength index, that is a forward-looking oscillator, and it's designed to basically say, hey, is volume showing us what the price is going to do? All right, so on balance volume focuses on the trend. It places very little, it really plays no importance whatsoever on the numeric value. Like the numeric value of the OBV, you don't care. All you really care is about the trend, and the trend can be set at different levels. It can be like a moving average. 14 days seems to be the common, but you can get 14 week. You could get 40 week OBV for some people. Whatever it is, you could also get 5 day OBV. If you're a day trader, you're going to use it shorter and it'll give you more signals. So there's a cumulative volume that basically says if the price of the stock or the ETF, if you're going to use it for ETFs, increases from yesterday's close, then you're going to add the volume into the function. If today's close is greater than yesterday's, then today's volume is added to yesterday's OBV, and you are now talking about what's called up volume. If today's close is yet less than yesterday's close, then today's volume is subtracted from yesterday's OBV, and you have down volume. And if today's close is equal to yesterday's close, then OBV is equal to yesterday. Today and tomorrow, there's no change. So that's the basic calculation. You're just adding up the volume, good, bad, or otherwise, for this period. You could do this calculation yourself, but what you're looking to see are dramatic change in trends. And if you track the stock and you then put an on-balance volume oscillator beneath it, what you are looking for is periods of realistically divergence, where you say, okay, I'm looking to see if the volume is indicating where things are going. So getting back to Joe Granville and how this theory came about, Granville felt that volume was the driving force behind markets. And so he designed OBV to project when major moves in the markets would occur. And he basically talked about the indicator setting new highs or lows. So when volume increases or decreases dramatically without any change in the issue's price, you would wind up seeing the market basically, he talked about it like a spring being compressed and coiled, right? Because if you had volume going up, but the price didn't, you were basically trying to pop things in the upward direction. And ultimately, over a period of time, volume begins to drive the price upward, or volume begins to drive the price downward. So OBV becomes useful to you when you see differences. When the OBV moves in the same direction and at similar magnitudes as the price chart, then it's confirming the trend. If there's a divergence, so in other words, OBV is moving down and the price is moving up, that's a sign of false trends or a possible reversal or maybe a consolidation, right? And that's as simple as it gets. It's you combine it with the fact that you could use OBV on everything. Like if you are putting technical indicators to work for you, you can go ask your charting software program to show OBV. And it's very simple to do. You basically look at this and try to see, is the trend on OBV going in the same direction? Because that's ultimately what you are looking for. Is it moving in the same direction? Is it not moving in the same direction? And by the way, the one basic assumption, right, that volume increases on the days when price moves in the dominant direction, that assumption makes OBV different from pretty much every other volume oscillator, which isn't making that basic assumption. They're looking at other things. So is it useful? Yes, it is. Is it something that I think the technical analysts and traders are using all the time? Nope, they're not. And I say that because, well, it's not something I'm hearing a lot from the guys at Raging Bull. But that doesn't mean you can't use it, because I do know that people are using it. It's on balance volume, OBV. And yes, if it's running the way you want things to run, it's a nice confirming indicator. If it's running against you, or if it's running against the stock, it's telling you, hey, maybe there's time for a change here. And if you're looking to spot patterns early, this is one way to do it. Jay, thanks very much for the question. For anybody else, if you've got questions, I'd love to have them.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in
writing. But yeah, you got to submit the question to me in writing. Chuck@moneylifeshow.com will do it. And we will then hopefully answer your question in a future show. All right, we are heading for home now on today's show, and that means the market call is next. We'll be joined by Bernie Horn from Polaris Global Value when we return in just a moment.